We're going to be starting a series here, a teaching on receiving the power of God. And the Lord spoke to me about it, and I sort of thought maybe I was looking at some other things and notes that I had, because I dealt with this subject back a couple years ago. And the Lord just brought out that he wanted to do some things in this area. And I, you know, on Friday, I really just sort of compelled in this area. See, God even talks to me when I go to the air show. But that don't surprise me. He's talked to me in a lot of different places I didn't expect it. But anyhow, what we want to do is we're going to be talking about the power of God. But the Lord spoke to me, and in fact, the scriptures that are in the bulletin, we were not going to use those this morning. I had sort of done that up on Thursday, and Friday God changed things. But I'm used to that. Nothing's set in stone anymore. You know, it just however it goes. But we're going to look at this morning, we're going to, as dealing with that subject of the power of God, a lot of Christians are looking for the power of God. They want the power of God, but there's basic things that we're not founded in. And just trying to get the power of God. One of the things, the power of God for us as individuals, it deals with us, you know, the Bible talks about us being vessels, that we're containers. And the power of God, the church has the idea that it's just something that shows up some, you know, and comes in. But you need to understand, the power of God is put into a vessel. God demonstrates himself through people. That's how he does these. That's what he does. He demonstrates through people. That's, you know, we have the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastors, and teachers. God anoints people. The word of God just don't show up and blow up somewhere and, you know, and oh, we get to see it, right, handwriting in the sky or whatever else. And God has people preach. So God's using people, and especially dealing with the areas with the vessel of the, many Christians today, when we talk about the vessel that God wants to demonstrate his power through are the believer. In other words, when we talk about believers, there's many people today in the church that we call church world that really are not church. They're not the body of Christ. They've never been born again. They believe because they go or belong to a certain group that makes you a Christian. And I believe in Jesus, people say. Well, I'm going to tell you what, hell's filled with people that believed in Jesus, that believe Jesus existed. And they sure know it today. They sure know today that Jesus exists. And the great difference of things is what the Word of God tells us, or what we believe in line with the Word of God. And the Word of God deals with us specifically about being born again, which today is really a terminology that's not used much, but it needs to be used and understood. It's one thing, as I learned from Kenneth E. Hagin in starting off, he said, if you use Bible terminology, it's easy to understand what the Bible says. You know, some years ago, I was listening to a missionary who was ministering in another country, and the ministers there didn't like the term born again. He didn't like it. Well, it's number one, she tried you don't have to worry about that as long as you this or that. You know, you need to understand this, is the bottom line of Christianity is based in being born again. If a person is not born again, they are not a child of God. People aren't children of God because God created man. Sons of God are only one group. The Bible's clear on the subject, and that is the Christian. That's the ones who have been born again, who have had their spiritual nature changed. Many people convert to a religion. They convert to it. I remember, you know, years ago, the group, the kids, when I was a kid, and they used to talk about being converted. And really, a lot of that had to do with following a certain religious philosophy. You need conversion. You need birth. Just as the human race, we are born into the human race physically. You become, and that's how I became a child of my parents, because I was born into it. There's one thing about it. Somebody adopted never has the DNA of the people they live with. Never. They may love them just as much and everything else, but they don't have that individual's DNA, and they can't get it. You can only have the DNA of who's your birth, actual birth. That's the only DNA you can have. That's it. And so, you know, and just putting that down, there's male DNA and there's female DNA. And nobody can change that. You can have as many operations, turn yourself into a chicken, you will still have human DNA, either of a male or a female. That's the bottom line of it. All the rest's a lie, and science knows it. You can't change your DNA. You're either a male or a female. There was no males born in a female body and a female born in a male body. That never took place. That has never happen. There are demons that operate in people, making them believe those things. But it has never happened. Because you'd have to change a person's DNA to make them. That's why they have to, you know, take hormones to look like a certain one. They wouldn't have to do that if they could actually. They don't. They have to do something physically to try to change. Well, we need to understand this is when we come to the kingdom of God as being born into the kingdom of God, there's one thing. Jesus said this, by their fruits you will know them. So in other words, we need to understand, when we're talking about being born, you know, when I was born into the human family, I didn't walk around clucking like a chicken. If you do, they have institutions they put you in and give you medication and shots every once in a while. Try to keep you from doing that. And so, you know, we need to understand what we were born into, and we were like naturally born into, is being born into the kingdom of God, as becoming a child of God, is going to change your nature. It will change your nature. Now, we have this problem because there are people who get born again, but they never follow the teaching of the Word of God and never walk in it, and what happens to them, they end up going back into the life they lived before and just go live that life. Because they're going to follow whatever they think and believe. You're going to always follow what you think and believe. That's one thing is we need to understand. We get born again, we have changed lives. I know with this, I do not believe that somebody gets born again, and when they get born again, they have no desire for the things of God, and they just want to go out and live in the world like they did before and do the things that they did. I know this, they never passed from death unto life. That never happened. That never took place. I know because it's number one. I got born again, and you can ask my wife. My nature changed. I mean, I was a heathen. I was a drunk. I was involved in sorcery and all that kind of stuff. And I got born again. And my wife, when I came home from work one day, it was a couple months after I got born again, I came home one day from work, and she said to me, she said, it was night. I was working a second shift, and it was probably about 11:30, 12 o'clock. And she met me at the door and said she accepted Christ. She had gotten born again. And I said, and I first said, because when I got saved, when I got born again, the Lord told me, let your wife alone. Don't you preach to her. He said, she don't trust you anyhow. And he's right. You know, it's one of the things of it is, you got to prove yourself in your life. I get fed up with these Christians that run around, don't live right, and put stupid bumper stickers on their cars, and they go around trying to get other people to accept Jesus, and people ain't going to pay no attention to them. People can't stand them, and I understand why. I can't stand them either. They don't live right, walk right, talk right, and then they're going around running around telling somebody else ought to get right. God dealt with me right that away. He said, you need to get right. In other words, my wife had to be able to come to a place where she could trust me. Well, trust is built over time. You know, God don't trust you till you prove yourself trustworthy. The word says, Jesus said this, if you're not faithful with somebody else's, who's going to give you your own? Well, if he's talking about among men you do it, what do you think he's doing? Do you think he's handing you things when you have proved yourself untrustworthy with what he's already given you? Many Christians are untrustworthy with salvation. They're untrustworthy with a new birth. They're not trustworthy. And we're saying this to criticize, but this is just how the kingdom operates. We didn't develop, but in life it's the same way. You know, I've had people come up to me already who I didn't even know, wanted something, or something, and I said, well, you know, I don't even know me. Well, what's the matter? I'm a Christian. Don't you trust me? And I looked right at them and said, no, I don't even know you. How could I trust you? Trust is not based on because somebody says there's something. It's on performance. This is why Americans are so stupid. Like politicians, they either have one party or the other party that they go for. And the people don't have to be trustworthy at all in either party. And people will vote because a person belongs to a certain party. I want to know what they did. Most of them never did nothing for anybody. They did it for themselves. And we vote for them because they say they believe certain things. I don't really care. There's loads of Christians believe the right things. They know the right things, but they don't ever do them. I want to think about that, you know. And God's had to deal with me sometimes on that. I knew the right thing, but I wasn't doing the right thing. And so he talked to me about it. In other words, God wants us in a position where we're trustworthy. And we need to understand this is developing in the areas concerning the new birth. We want to be born again. When I got saved, and we've lost this today in the church world, loads of people consider themselves Christian. And I cannot for the life of me tell the difference between them and the world. I can't tell any difference. There's no difference in them. Their thinking and everything's identically the same. What they do, the first on their agenda in life is not God at all. And we need to know this. We want to talk about it because we want to deal with the new birth. We're born again. To get the new birth, number one, Jesus is supposed to be confessed as Lord. In other words, you give up the control of your life to somebody. That's what that being Lord means. I said this before. Billy Graham made this statement and said when he was born again for a number of years before he really got taken off concerning anything with God. And he said the whole thing it was, he said, I had Jesus as Savior, but he wasn't my Lord. He said, it wasn't till I made Jesus my Lord, my life changed. See, everybody wants saved, but they want to control their life. Number one, I ain't fit to control my life, and neither are you. I know. 30 years I controlled my life. Oh my God. What did it end up? A drunk and using drugs and messed up and in sorcery. Woo! We were having a good time controlling our lives. You see, there's one thing I found out in Christianity, getting born again. The more I can yield control of my life to Jesus Christ, the better I get at this thing. I found out a long time ago he's a lot smarter than me. And I know that because the Holy Ghost lives in me and he keeps telling me how smart Jesus is and how, you better listen, boy. You need to pay attention. And so we want to have that, if we're a vessel, we're born again. We want the power of God. We need to understand our new birth. You know, it's almost lost. There's one thing, and I'll say, I don't know how much it is among the Baptists as much as it used to be. But when I came into the kingdom, there's one thing about it. There was no group better than the Baptists to know when they were saved. Man, I'm going to tell you what. They knew their scriptures on salvation, and they knew that they accepted Jesus, and they knew that Jesus is Lord, and they're born again. They were settled flat in it. I mean, you couldn't get any better. But I found this out. The Spirit-filled people in the so-called Spirit-filled church was not near as good at it. The Spirit-filled church, you'd walk up to a Baptist and ask, do you save? I mean, in a split second, I mean, they got it out in 40 scriptures to follow it up with. You'd go up and you'd ask the Spirit-filled person and why they're saved, and they'd stammer around for 45 minutes trying to figure something out of the Bible. They weren't settled in the Word of God. And number one, your security is the Word, not your feelings, not your whatever, not because you went forward, 27 years ago. I know people that went, forward, they made a confession of faith. And I've had people over the years come to me and say, they were born again, but they got so far away from it, they've lost the inward consciousness of being a child of God. And they'll come and say, I don't know if I'm saved anymore. And I tell them, I know exactly why. You don't go into the Word about it. You don't confess the Word. What you're confessing is your problems. You're always confessing your troubles. You're confessing whatever's going on around in life. That's what you're walking around saying and talking. You know, you come along and you just feel like, you're not saved. So what do? You run around and talk. I don't know. I don't know if God loves me anymore. How did any knucklehead ever say any such a thing? You couldn't have been reading the Bible at all. God loves a sinner. Boy, why would you think he'd throw the messed up saint out? Dear Lord, his own kids? It's because people don't read the Bible. They're not settled. Right today, that's one of the big things. We're trying to go on to things, to greater things, and are not settled in our salvation. Man, you got to be settled in that. Because if the devil can get you to question that at all, he can get you in that camp at all, he has you. You're never going to go far. You're never going far. You have to know who you are and who you belong to. And no matter what happens, that has to be your security. You know, there's one thing. See, we wanted to raise our kids with the idea that we love them no matter what. We wanted them to have a security in life, to know that they belong to a family and we wouldn't put them out. They needed to know that. We didn't put up, sometimes you don't put up with what they do, but they need to know that we love them is no matter what. They're our kids. That's it. And they need to have that. Most Christians don't have that. They'll mess up and they'll get out into things and things will go wrong in life. And the question, the devil could just come and bring question and question their minds. And they'll entertain them. They'll entertain them. You know, I have no doubt. I never had doubt of the family that I belonged to. I knew my mom and dad loved me. I knew that they did. I knew that, you know, no matter what, I mean, they got fed up with me and a lot of stuff. But you know what? They never said, "You're not my son. You just forget it." You know, I remember when I got born again, they were just so excited about that I got born again, that their kid wasn't going to be in hell. They were just really excited about that. I was too. I was pretty excited about that too when I found out that's where I was definitely going. And so that was good news to me. But they were really excited about that. But you know what? They never quit on me and didn't love me. I didn't show up at the house and they say, "You know, you don't belong in my house. Well, you aren't my kid no more." They never did that. No. And I sure didn't act right, do things right, but they tolerated my stupidity and ignorance, you know. Now, they wouldn't have tolerated me staying in their house doing my stupidity and ignorance. But it wasn't because they didn't love me. They taught me, and I was glad they did, you know, about it. So we want to look at some things today in the Scriptures because we need that security. If we want the power of God, the foundation of everything is in your salvation, that you're born again, that you belong, who you belong to. What you belong to. Are you a child of God? See, it's one thing is being settled on that. That's an area that I can truthfully say this. I've never questioned since I've been born again. I've never questioned whether or not who I belong to. You know, I've had the devil try to bring doubts to me whether I was going to end up in heaven. I'll laugh at him. I'm going to be in heaven. That's where I'm going to be. Hallelujah. I know whose family I belong to. But see, the more you're settled in things concerning the Word, the more you'll live like the Word. The more you'll live like it. Is the whole thing of it is finding out what you are. It has to be more than something, words that you heard and just in your ears. And you know, you get they got to get this into your heart, into the inner man of who and what you are. Where you there's no question within yourself that you're at peace and rest of who you belong to. And the one that owns you. Because whatever you really truly believe in your heart about yourself, that's what you're going to live. You're going to live that out. And you don't want to put the wrong things on the inside. You don't want to get the wrong stuff in. That's why you need to learn to guard your mouth, saying the wrong things and talking the wrong junk. Just like I said, I've seen people, I never met a person who came along who was born again and later on in life wondered if they were born again. I can tell you, their mouth got them into position of where they're at. They started talking the wrong things about themselves. They started saying the wrong stuff. They started talking about their problems and troubles and how they messed up. And, you know, they started saying wrong things. And after a while, "I don't even know if God likes me anymore. I'm out or in. I don't know." Wow, they got the wrong things in them. You got to keep the right stuff inside of you. You know, when trouble comes, it's easy when everything's going good in life to say, "Oh, I'm a child of God. Isn't it wonderful?" It's when the trouble comes knocking. It's when you mess up and maybe you think it's the worst mess up you ever did. You need to be settled in the fact of who you belong to or you'll go into more of a mess. That's how people do it. They're a child of God. They belong to God. They're God's kid. They get into a mess and because they get trapped over in that and they're not secure in who they are. Well, you know, might as well just go. I've done this, might as well go ahead, you know. And what happens? They just go into more and more of a mess. And well, you know, I don't know if God likes me anymore. I've done this and I've done that. I mean, my God, God forgave David a murder, killed a husband for his wife. Dear Lord, I ain't even got close to that one yet. There's ones I thought about. I mean, not for anybody's wife, but there's people I thought about. Lord, can we please choke them now? And, you know, this come to mind. But I ain't ever done it. I haven't done it. And I keep that out of my heart because the Bible, you get it in your heart and want to do it. It's as if you did it. So keep it out of your heart. Don't talk that junk, you know. But anyhow, getting yourself over to where you're secure and you want to get that place. Because when you mess up, the first thing that you want to do is run to God. That's the first thing you want. That's why the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, come boldly to the throne of grace. And first on the list, it says, come to the boldly throne of grace to receive mercy. Mercy is this. You don't need mercy if you ain't done nothing to mess up. You don't need mercy. You know, you think about it. I got born again. God showed his mercy and caused me to be born again. Once I was born again, I didn't need born again mercy no more. I didn't have to go get that anymore. I already had that one. I had born again. I became a child of God. So what God, but what happens is this, God's saying when you come boldly to the throne of grace, when you mess up, think about that. See, that's what the Bible says. Now, religion tells us a whole lot different. Religion has penance. And let me tell you this, the Catholics ain't the only ones that got penance. The spirit-filled people are full of penance too. Yeah, well, Lord, I messed up. So if I do this right and I'll do that right, and then if I start doing that, I'll get back in good graces with him. Well, you just got further away from him. I don't get back in better graces of God being a good boy. I get back in graces with God by his grace. I step into it and say, Lord, forgive the idiot. This is what I did. And I can come boldly at that time. Most people will get bold when they think everything's all right. Well, lightning didn't strike me, so I guess he likes me still. Maybe, you know. And that's what people do. Then they want to be bold. And that's all physical and mental. It's all physical and mental. No, I can, when I mess up, I can come boldly to the throne of grace. Isn't that wonderful? When I mess up, I can come boldly to the throne of grace. I don't have to sneak behind the throne and go up around and say, Jesus, what kind of mood's Dad in today? Is he angry? Is he mad at me? He says, come boldly to the throne of grace. He said, you receive mercy. Find grace to help in time of need. I messed up, and what he wants to do, he wants to give me power to get over it. That's what grace is. It's God's ability. It works on our behalf. So what does he want to do? He wants to empower me to overcome. That's his whole... He wants you to get you in his presence. That's his whole intent. And his presence is what? Fullness of joy. In his presence. First thing he wants you to do, run to me. You mess up, you don't stay out there trying to fix it. You go see him and get it fixed. That's what it's for. That's what this born-again experience. You know, I've learned with my children. You know, if my children messed up, they came to us for help. We didn't say, forget it, you scumbag. You messed up and we don't... You're finished. Put that gun back in the holster. You know? Why? Somebody wants to turn and wants to change. Man, we want to help them do it. You know? You know, the Bible talks about restoring a person. We want to restore. That's the whole, that's the business. Now, for many people, they want all the, now, and even Christians, they want the benefit of Christianity but from the other Christians, but they still want to live like hell. But they want the benefits of living good. Now, God won't do that for you. God won't do that. The Bible says he chastens us. Have you ever been chastened by God? The Bible says this, he chastens me because he loves me. So I have no doubt that God loves me. I don't know about you. Because he has sure had to chasten me. So I'm convinced. See, this is how messed up Christians are. They might be in a place of life where they're being chastened about some things. And their whole thing is, the first thing on their list, God don't love them. See, that sounds to me like a three-year-old. That's the way a three-year-old acts when their parents punish them. You don't love me. That's a three-year-old. You didn't do what I wanted. God don't love me anymore. He won't let me suck my thumb anymore. I I know when God's chastening me, and he's had to do it on a number of occasions. So I, look, I'm the only one. You guys, I know you guys never go through this. This is me. I'm this squirrely guy, so you can hear about the squirrel, okay? Make you feel better. Then you can lie about the rest of it. Okay. But he chastens us, and you go through times of chastening. Chastening isn't sometimes even because you've done wrong. He's trying to take you to another level. Sometimes we deal with pressures of things. Sometimes you will stand with things, even you're believing for, you'll stand for, because God wants you to come to the place that you get there, that you will stand no matter what to have that thing brought to pass. Why? It'll lead you to another level, a place of faith. If everything happened to you instantly, what you wanted, you would have no endurance whatsoever. None. Zero. Well, I'm going to tell you what, you living in this life, you're going to have some endurance, because there's a lot of trouble going on out there. Jesus said, in the world there's tribulation. That word tribulation just means this, trouble. In the world there's trouble. Man, he didn't have to even write that in Scripture. I could have wrote it for him. I could have said, Jesus, you know in the world's trouble? Did you know that, Jesus? But he wrote it and said, I've overcome it. Sometimes it don't seem like it's overcome. Did you ever notice that? You know, I got a lot of notes. I thought were pretty good. I could have used them maybe. I don't know. But trouble comes, and trouble comes knocking all the time to you and me. It comes troubles. We're living in a world of trouble. It's how we view trouble. And this is one thing, is why is the born again, being born again. It is the catalyst of what makes everything work, is knowing who you belong to and what you belong to. You know, Mike talked about hope this morning. You know, hope, the Bible deals with the area of this about hope. Hope is referred to in the New Testament. Most of the time it's referred to as looking down the road to the return of Jesus Christ, of us getting the new body. Why? Because we don't have a guaranteed day that we know that that's going to happen. And so why? You can't by faith claim a day. Now by faith I can claim, because of being born again, it's going to happen to me. But I can't name the day. It's a hope in the future. It's an expectation that's going to happen to us. That's coming, folks. And that's a hope out there. And the Scripture, they're talking about the appearing of the Lord. That hope is about us right now. What are we doing? We're supposed to discipline our minds right now, get ourselves fixed on some things. Why? Because you want to maintain that hope of the future. Most Christians really have little hope for the future. They don't have a lot of hope. Like in America here, we have all this fighting and fussing going on. I mean, even Christians are in there. You know, Christians supposed to be praying for the president, or fussing and fighting the president and doing it, calling themselves Christians. What they need to do is get the devil cast out of them. Bunch of heathens. My God. I hear Christians, you know, talking worse. I mean, they liked Obama better than they do the guy we have now. Obama bought every evil, ugly thing he could think of into our nation. Tried to do it. I mean, there's Christians liked him better. My God. Would you think they're Christians? I wouldn't want to count on to heaven doing that kind of stuff. But see, we need to get over, because you get into the world situation and that thing starts to dominate and rule. What happens? You lose hope. You can't. That's one of the things, like myself, I haven't watched evening news probably for the past 8-10 years. I've never watched an evening news program. Why? I mean, why do I have to sit and end my day with listening to bad news? No wonder people can't sleep at night. They shouldn't be able to. They're idiots. And I don't listen to the morning shows. Because they'll tell you who's fussing and fighting amongst each other. I don't need to know. There's one thing, as I found out, if you're going to pray for people, lots of times it's the best thing you can do is know as little as you can about them. Because you will form an opinion. And many times it's wrong. I don't want the news to form the opinion of what's going on out here. You need to understand this. In our world that we're dealing with right now, most of what news tells you is what's happening physically, or what they believe about whatever happened physically or whatever. And many times, this one thing, they are not spiritual. 99.9% of them wouldn't know God if he showed up down here on earth with 4,000 angels with him. And they would just think it's another guy in town. They wouldn't know. So they're not. There's nothing of knowing someone spiritually. When the Apostle Paul talked about Christ, he said, knowing Christ, he said, physically, he said, I know him no more by the flesh. I know Christ no more by the flesh. See, most of Christianity only know Jesus from the Gospels. They know about the man that walked around, but they don't know the Jesus that's sitting at the right hand of God. They don't know him. This is because most Christians are not led by the Spirit. The Holy Ghost will reveal Jesus to you. See, what I want to know is Jesus now. I want to know Jesus now. I want to know Jesus now. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want to know him in his position and his authority now. I want to know what he's doing now. I know what he wants me to do now. And see, we need to understand these things. He said, I don't know him anymore by the flesh. See, most, even in the earth, when I was talking about the news thing, is because they're reporting all the flesh stuff. And the Bible says this, know no man after the flesh. He didn't know, say, some people you can, some you can't. Do you know why people are doing what they're doing? Do you understand? Now, you know, we have these guys, you know, radio commentators and TV commentators, and they'll tell you about different people, and they'll give you all their solutions to all their problems. But I never heard one of them sit down, you know, we're dealing with a lot of demon activity, and we're just have a lot of, and I'll tell you, we got people that are under the power of the devil. I mean, Rush Limbaugh never said that in his life. Now, I'm not knocking Rush Limbaugh, but the Christians sometimes take what these guys say as being some kind of real. Well, he's telling the truth. Yeah, naturally, and that's it. He's telling us naturally what anybody could see and figure out with the same information. But spiritually, what's the condition of things? That's what you need to know. And if a Christian doesn't know their own spiritual condition, they will definitely not know the condition of others. You can't know the spiritual condition of others if you don't know your condition. When Christians say, I don't know if I'm in faith, what they tell me is, I don't know the condition of my own spirit. I don't know what I believe. I don't know. I'm so full of what I see and what's going on around me, I'm paying no attention to the inside. Yet I'm born again, and the Holy Ghost is in there to teach me, and I have no consciousness of it whatsoever. Well, see, you know, if God can talk to me at an air show, you know why he can talk to me at an air show? Because I don't turn off on the inside just because I go do something. I got a hold of the thing years ago from Dr. Cho from Korea. He had a church with over 1 million people. And his church. How do you pastor a million people? You at least need 10 handguns. But he pastored. But one of the things that he said, now, Cho was a big man of prayer. You know, in his church, they would never counsel people without, they always had to go to prayer mountain for 3 days and pray before they would counsel them. And he said, we almost never have to counsel people. They hear from God when they go. Most people want counseling because they're spiritually lazy. They won't seek God themselves for an answer. They want to go to get somebody else. See, you need to learn to hear from God yourself. Your stability is to hearing God yourself. Well, Dr. Cho made this statement. He said, I don't care what I'm doing. He said, I can be sitting in, which he did. World leaders would have him come to meetings and he'd talk to them because of his influence and that stuff. And he said, I don't care if I'm in a meeting with world leaders, he says, my heart is always turned toward God to see if he has something he wants to say or do. See, you can get like that in life. Now, hey, I'm not perfect at it, but I'm a whole lot better than I used to be. God can still talk to me in places. I remember God started talking to me. I remember one time, this is many years back, I was in a movie. And we took the kids to a movie, and we went to a movie. I'll never forget this. Sitting in the movie, and all of a sudden, a certain thing happened in the movie, and then we did. It was like inside me, somebody threw a switch, and for 20 minutes, I didn't even know that movie was even going on. I was sitting there, and God started talking to me about stuff, and I mean, he was just going to town and talking in a movie theater. Well, man, I was raised and born to say God would never have went to a movie theater. He didn't even tell me to get out. He talked to me and gave me a revelation that day in that movie theater. There was a thing that was said on that movie, and when it was said, it just triggered a thing inside of me, and God began to talk to me about, because that thing triggered a certain thing, and God used it spiritually to turn over and begin to talk to me. But see, if you don't ever, you don't turn yourself, you don't do that. See, that's why we get so engulfed over in the natural and what we're doing, and we don't realize the benefit of what we have on the inside. You know, many times I found this out. I spend too much time working on things till I finally stop and say, Lord, you know, I've never really talked to you about this. What do I need to do to get this thing corrected? And amazing, and wisdom will come to me. And in 15 minutes, and then I said to myself, you moron, you spent the last 2 hours wasting your time. Most people will spend 14 hours wasting their time and never ask God. I'm cutting it down some now. I don't go quite as long. But sometimes I get myself mad at myself. I'm being so stupid. I know better. And I just don't stop. But see, we don't do that. We don't stop and consult God on things, giving us wisdom. Just think about that. You got God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside of you. Think of it. God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside of you. God, the wisdom of God, the mind of Christ is a person. His name's Holy Ghost. He lives in you. I'm not trying to get the mind of Christ. I have it living in me. I just ought to use it more often. That's where it's at. I don't use it as often as I should. And you don't either. And many times things we don't try to solve it. We just know everything after the flesh. We don't know nothing after the Spirit. We're always trying to solve everything with our wisdom. God, let's just say, God knows everything. God knows everything. Think about it. God knows everything. And you know, get this in you. He's interested in everything about you. It's just like my kids. I was interested in them. I want to know, you know, it's like me. We were on Friday. Braden went along with me and that stuff. And we just had some really good talks. And Braden talked about things. And some people might think, well, it just seems strange, some of the things he said. But he's a kid. And I'm interested in what he got to say about things, and I want to know how he's thinking about stuff. I want to know how I'm interested in that. You know, my dad would have said to me, what is wrong with you? So we never got close. And that's why you'll never get close with God. Getting close with God is realizing who and what you are and what he is. I go talk to him, I know about things, and he probably thinks, poor boy, pats me on the head, poor thing. You know? But you know what? It's amazing he'll talk to me about it. You know, things that, when I get, there's times I got revelation from him, and I thought, dear Lord, that was almost an obvious thing. How did I bypass that so long? Dear God, patient and kind, patient and kind. It's like, gee, what's wrong with me? But getting ourselves over, we're understanding this about God. With the new birth in us, you have the new birth. You're born. Holy Spirit's living you. You have the mind of God. It's living right inside of you. Jesus said he will take what's mine and show it to you. Jesus is operating in this earth. He wants to change things in this earth. He wants to change things more than you want it changed. He wants people healed more than you ever even thought about wanting somebody healed. He wants you healed more than you ever thought about wanting to be healed. Most people, that's one of the problems with healing-wise. People aren't earnest enough about it because they don't know how earnest God is about it. When the Lord spoke to me and told me, he said, other than my people getting born again and full of the Holy Ghost, and he even said born again. First he said born again. He said even after that, not even just being filled with the Holy Ghost. He said the number one thing I want with my children to be well. It's my number one. He said, that's my number one on the agenda. And I said, Lord, that ain't even in the top 100 of the church. That's not even in the top 100. The church don't have that. The church, well, you know, my healing just isn't, you know, it isn't as important as this over here. No. You don't know Jesus. It's important. He died and took all that on himself so you could be well. It is no different than somebody saying, my salvation's not important. Because it's in the package. It's in the package. You see, these things, it's because we don't understand salvation, understanding what we are, who we're connected to, who we belong to. See, most of the church world really don't. We have religious ideas and we have even things that are correct from the word ideas, but they're not a living reality of what we really are, that we belong to God. Can you imagine? I mean, this is a thing that still astounds me this day, that God, the Holy Ghost, would come and live in me. I mean, that's phenomenal. Now, I'm going to say this. We only believe that, everybody believes that on a certain level, and some on a lot less level than others. Most Christians talk about, you know, God living in me, and that is no more than word spoken. There's no belief in it at all. Because they live like God don't live in them. When the Lord spoke to me when I was a young Christian, and when I told the story before, I had just gotten born again. Wasn't born again long. In fact, I got born again in January. It was in the spring, and Wanda's cousin got married, and we were invited to the wedding, and we went to this church, there was the minister and that stuff. It was a denominational church, and the minister was up front, and we're going through this thing. And I'll never forget, I was just sitting there, and these are one of those things. My experiences with God to me are like they happened yesterday. I can see myself sitting in the church, listen to this minister talking up front, and the only thing I could think of, if this guy's saved, no one will ever know. He is dumb as a stick. I mean, they had a Bible open up there, but I don't know if they used it for toilet paper or what, because they sure weren't using it for anything for God. It would have probably been better if they had used it for Lord. He said it got some use. They had to just sit up there, and he's talking, and he's saying the dumbest things you've ever heard in your life, and he's saying things about God to two heathens like they belong to God, these two heathens up there that don't belong to God, and he's talking to them like, oh, God's just thrilled about them and all that stuff. And I'm thinking, yeah, God be thrilled they got saved, but they're on their way to hell, and he's probably leading the way. And I'll never forget this. I'm sitting there and I'm looking around this building, and you know, they got like here, you know, they have stained glass and that kind of stuff, and they got, you know, the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is always a dove. The Bible has him as fire and water and everything. You know, this is the church world, the narrow church world. He's always a dove. And you know what? The church has only ever had the dove. That's what all they get. That's what their faith is, dove faith. I'll tell you, I got fire faith. Dove ain't a sign of power. You see, what we put into us as Christians, the way we think and as Christians concerning our new birth and everything, we're off base of what the Bible says. We just follow tradition. But I was sitting there in a church and I looked around. They had all these symbols and all this kind of stuff. And I just said this. I said, Lord, have you ever been in this place? And speaking of the standpoint concerning, and he knew what I was talking about. I was talking about their meetings. Does God show up in this place? Does he? And I'll never forget this. Just as clear inside of me, a voice said, you're here. Man, that went off to me as a revelation. Never again did I ever ask God to go with me anywhere. Never again did I ever pray anything like that. Wherever I go, God's with me. Wherever I go, God's along. Even if I go to what I shouldn't, I carry God there. Even when I'm doing what I shouldn't be doing, I carry God there. See, that becomes a revelation to you. You won't do certain things anymore. You'll quit when that becomes a revelation. You need that revelation. God's in me. See, I've had people come pray me. I'm going to go do this and that. The prayer of God will go with me. I say, what? Well, get saved. He'll go along. Well, I am saved. Well, do you have God dwelling? Yeah, I know, but I want him. I said, forget it. They have no revelation of who they are. They don't know. They don't know who they are. See, and you've got to come to that place to you know who you are. You know what you are. God's with me. Don't, you know, it's like me. I never wake up in the morning and thinking like I'm trying to reach God out there somewhere. I don't ever. To me, when I'm praying and talking, it's like God's right there in the room with me. We're having a discussion. Now, I didn't get that because I was a genius. I was taught it from the Bible, but I believed it. It wasn't terminology. Many people, they have these things, these terms that are said, but they never get a hold of God enough or study the Word themselves enough to get it inside of them that it's true. It's not true to you till you start acting like it's true. Your actions, by your fruit, you will be known. You are known by what you do proves your faith. Not what just you say. You can say the right thing and never do it. And James says that faith is dead. That faith is dead that is said and not done. That's dead faith. Acting like it's true. See, to me, understand this, and this is why I want to get it. The Holy Ghost wants to get this across to you concerning you being a child of God, because no matter how difficult things get in life, God wants you at the place that you're secure with the fact that He's in you and with you. You're not trying to reach out there. You're not trying to get, you know, the string and the cans on either end and trying to scream as loud as you can and see if you can get a signal to God. This is most people. This is how people do in their prayer lives when they're into trouble. Then they get into all this praying stuff. And that's like, I'm trying to get a hold of God. I'm not trying to get a hold of God. I haven't, for 30 years, I haven't tried to get a hold of God. He's been over 30 years. He's been living in me. I'm not trying to get a hold of Him. Dear God. Like Kenneth Hagin said, most Christians think he's just a hitchhiker going along, you know. He's just taking a ride while he's down here, you know. Just don't stop too quick, he'll jump out the door and run. Got to keep moving, so don't let him get out. See, when lots of times people have the idea. I know what the scriptures talk about with seeking God. It's about earnestly looking for things. In other words, you're trying to find revelation for God. You're trying to get understanding. But most people, their idea of seeking God is like they're trying to get a hold of Him. What are you trying to get a hold of God for? He moved in. You know, I'm seeking my wife. What, she hiding in a closet somewhere where I can't find her? You know? Yeah, I'm going to go home and seek for my wife. Now, she might be at Kohl's, but I don't know. Boscov's or something. But I always know where to find her, so that's no problem. The seeking's no problem. And all I got to do is go online, look at the credit card, and I can tell you where she's at. Isn't that right, honey? Amen. Preach it, brother. Woo! So it ain't even much of a seek to find her. See, it's not. Hallelujah. You know why? I know my wife. I know her. Hallelujah. See, over time, most people, even husband, wife, live and die, never really learn to know the other person. I know her. I can tell you all kinds of things. If I know what Wanda would do in situations, I know because of knowing her over time. But what makes a difference is this. As Kenneth Hagin said this, I was a young Christian, and he made this statement. And it really woke me up to things. He made this statement. He said, I know Jesus Christ better than I know my wife who lays in the bed beside me at night. I know Jesus Christ. And I thought, when he said that, I thought, whoo, man, he's in a different ball field than I play in. I'm trying to get to know this lady next door. But he said he knows Jesus Christ. But you know what I decided? I'm going to know Jesus Christ better than I know my wife. And you need to. You need to know Jesus Christ better than you know anybody. Your faith is what that counts on. The more you know Him, the more you can trust Him. And I'm not talking about some pages in a book. And you read. You can get to know Him. I can tell you things that I know of things if I did or certain situations. I can tell you just exactly how Jesus would react to it. I know exactly how He'll react to it. You get to know Him. And see, that's what you want to do. This is about this new birth thing, folks. This is about this. This is about what you are. See, you can come to this place. This is why being born again is such a huge, important thing. Enormously important thing. There's nothing more important than this. You got to be born again. You became a child of God. You became a child of God for the specific purpose of fellowship with God. That is number one on the agenda. When I got born again, number one, God called me to fellowship. And I tell you, you can ask one, for the first 3 years, man, I'll tell you, I lived in fellowship with God, learning to know Him. In His prayer, He would always call me, go to the bedroom, Ed. And I'd be in the bedroom. Hours and hours on end. I'd go to the place, go in the bedroom, and I'll tell you what, it was just the most common thing for the presence of God to manifest itself. And I'd go in there and I'd read the Bible and the Holy Spirit would talk to me about stuff and talk to me things. And I'd sit down and I'd study and study the Word. And I'd come out and do something dumb and He'd tell me back in the room. He taught me there. He taught me concerning my job wasn't trying to control my wife. See, a spiritual leader, when people are called about a spiritual head, let me just say this. Most homes don't have a spiritual head, whether it's man or woman. They got somebody who's in so-called control. We got to hear a spiritual head in our home. His name's Jesus. I'm second in command. But I'm second. But see, is number one is learning to know spiritually, you know, the man's supposed to love his wife like Christ loves the church and gave his life for it. You ever know the scriptures? The scripture says this. It says the guy's supposed to leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. Almost no Christian group ever preaches that and does it. Most are taught the wife cleaves to the husband and that's all they got. No, my job is to cleave to her, take care of her, look after her. That's my job. My job ain't to run around and just tell her what to do. Now, ladies, if you want to wear the pants, go ahead and mess the system up. It's good preaching, folks. It's good preaching, folks. But see, what I learned is, number one, I had to learn that I had to love my wife like Christ loves the church. So I just decided this. I'm sticking with her no matter what because Christ sticks with me no matter what. I got to stick with her no matter what. So that's it. And see, that's this. Loving her like Christ loves the church is the way I got to love. That's what I got to do. So in other words, He said, like, Christ is the Savior of the body, which really gives a representation of the spiritual man as the Savior of his family. Messed up families are because of messed up heads. See, God taught me those things of responsibility. See, when I first got born again, He, number one, began to teach me in these areas as being a Christian. He teach me. Wanda would do things, and even she did things wrong. If I got upset about it or said anything, and I wouldn't say anything to her, but I'd go to God. Well, you know, she just said, and every time He would say, "Yeah, well, she did this. Well, why don't you do this?" And I thought, "Yeah, he always throws it over on me again. Throws it over on me." Now, wives, that don't mean you can go around and do what you want. You can get yourself in a whole lot of trouble. A lot of women in a lot of trouble. A lot of women are a lot of trouble. Because see, in the church world, we don't have a lot of spirituality. It's knowing everybody. See, I'm not to know my wife after the flesh. It says no man after the flesh. That's for all of us Christians. Women, you don't know your husband after the flesh. You see, my job is to understand her, know her, not just from the flesh. Because what you do, if all you know people by the flesh, you'll just judge everything by the flesh, you'll just do everything by the flesh, and have a lot of fleshly problems. That's what you do. That's what you do. See, we need to, there's a lost spirituality, and it got lost with being born again, because we've moved away from it. We got saved and I'm forgiven. Big whoop. The new birth's about a changed life. Not I'm a forgiven so I can live like hell. I'm forgiven, so I can live like I can live in sin now. Boy, I tell you what, yeah, let's have a good time. Yeah, you know. You know, Jesus is my homeboy. No, he ain't. He's my master. He ain't my homeboy. And he's never going to be my homeboy. He's always going to be my master. We have a friendship among one another, but I'm going to tell you what, he's always the king in charge. This is one thing that I noticed even naturally being in leadership. If you turn around and get too friendly with people, you'll just ruin yourself from being able to ever be in charge or operate in anything. I am not one of the boys. I learned that at H.B. Reese Candy Company. I learned. Because people say, well, you know, you don't go out and hang out with us after work. No, and I ain't either. Because I'll tell you what will happen. You have no respect for me when I have to ask you to do something. You won't do it. You have no respect. I draw the line with Jesus. I want to keep constant respect of the Lord Jesus Christ. He ain't one of the homeboys. He is always my head. He's always the leader. He's the smart guy and he's in charge. You see, if we keep the balance in ECC, we've lost this. In America, we think everything's democratic. In the kingdom of God, none of it's democratic. There is no vote. You don't have one. You only get a vote if God says you can have one. And God, many Christians will live and die without ever getting a vote on anything. Because they will never become trustworthy enough for God to let them have a vote. I remember the first time God said to me when I prayed and he asked him about something, and he said, well, what would you like to be done? He said, whatever you want to do, I'll do it. I mean, that just startled me. I was like, what? It had to do concerning another person was having a problem in the area, and they asked me to pray about what to do, and the individual was a baby Christian. I'll never forget that. I said, when he told me that, whatever you want to do, I'll do it. And I was like, what? Let's run this one back through again. Must have been some pizza in there or something. Messed this up. Let's listen to this one again. And he said, yeah, you just tell me what you want to do. And I'll never forget this. I was at H.B. Reese Camp. I was working at the time. I don't know. I got over into things, and I often wonder if people ever saw me talking to God, because sometimes I would. I'd just stop the Lord speaking to me. I'd talk back to him. And I wouldn't, to me, I'd just lose it. Like if anybody was around or something, I never pay attention if anybody's around. And we must have had a discussion for about 15 minutes. Because I spoke to the Lord about certain things that the Word said concerning this thing. And he spoke to me some things and I spoke to the Word. He said, is that what you want done? I said, yeah. And within 3 days, it was done. Exactly like I said I wanted it to happen. Now, I know people God does that a whole lot more with than he does me. There's more people that have learned to be at more areas of trustworthy. Most Christians will live and die and never have it happen. They won't live in the light of who they are, what they are. You live in the light of what you are. Man, God will use you to do things. God will be interested because, well, you're interested in his welfare and his well-being and what he wants done. And when that becomes your major interest, you will find out his interest towards you is quite phenomenal of what he wants to do. God, there's many things that God don't want you to have to sit around all the time and pray about. The Lord spoke to me over the years. You know what to do. You take care of that. Can he trust? You see, when I first started off at Reese's as a group leader, I remember the supervisor I had in charge. I really liked him. He was retired from the Air Force. He was a sergeant, so he was a very, you know, he followed regimented rules and stuff, which I really like because you know what's going on. You know what's happening. You just follow. So working for me, I really enjoyed it. I liked working for him because I always knew what he was going to do, what he wanted done, and doing stuff. But I found out working with him. When I first started off, I didn't have as much leeway as I did to over time till he started to see that I would take care of things. And after a while, he'd say, you just go ahead. You do whatever you need to do. And then it turned out after a while they would pull him out of the department to do other things, and I would lots of times, majority of the time, I ran the department. But I did it by learning and building a trust relationship with an individual, and that trust was built because I was trustworthy with what they wanted to do. Okay, I'll say it. Most of you, the difficulty you've had in areas of growing up is because your major interests that you talk to God about are the things that you want to do and not what He wants to do. Now, look, I'm not saying criticism. When you start off just like a child in the family, little kids, you know, what do you hear from them? Do they ever come and talk to you? Mommy, Daddy, what do you need? Do they do that? No. Most Christians live and die like that. God, give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that. I need it. Oh, I got this problem. You need to figure it. God, God, God. That's a prayer life. They don't have a prayer life and say, Lord, what's on your heart? What you want to do? Did you ever stop to pray? Did you ever take time out to pray and say, Lord, I do this all the time. I say, Lord, I'm just going to give my voice to you today. What's on your heart to do? You can just use my voice and I'll pray in other tongues. What's on your heart? What is you need done? I'll give you my voice. Sometimes I get over praying in tongues a while, and after a while I start praying in English. I'll know what the direction I'm going in the thing. I will know about it. You've got to learn to do. You've got to take interest in Him. See, He's Lord. See, we brought people into the kingdom. The average person supposedly bought into the kingdom today is to get their sins forgiven. It's not to make Jesus Lord. The number one thing on the list, what do? Is confess what? Jesus is Lord. When we have somebody confess Jesus is Lord, that's just a nice little phrase to just throw on the side there. There's no faith in that at all. He's Lord. If He's Lord, you know, we think about if we would go back into the days when they had kings, you would have never, ever approached a king with your agenda. Never. You'd have never done that. Why? They would have buried your stupid body before they probably hung it for a week or two out on the front of the gate till then they buried it someplace. Your running in the door wasn't first to ask what you want. You didn't do that. Why? Because the king had control over everybody and everything. In the church, he doesn't. He only has control over a few. And the majority of the kingdom is a free-for-all. See, this is why going back to the new birth. I was going to read today, but I'm just going to, you know, from 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and verse 17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. I don't know about anybody else, but when I got born again, I'll never forget when I got born again, my interest totally changed. I became an interested in Jesus Christ. I wanted to know what His Word said. I had a desire to find out about Him. I just had this hunger, this drive to know about Him. I just wanted to know. Why? Because I became a new creation. I got born again. I wasn't the same person anymore. You know, nobody had to tell me don't go hang out in the bars. I knew that life wasn't any good for me. I knew that doing that wasn't any good. I mean, it didn't take no rocket science. I was a drunk, but I knew that wasn't a good way to do that. That wasn't the thing to be done. I didn't need to have somebody come up and say, you know, you shouldn't be hanging out in the bars anymore. Why? Because most people never come to the place of born again. They don't get to change. I had to change life. It's like I said, when Wanda met me at the door and told me she got saved, I said to her, why? See, we're coming back to that. See, we're way back here. We ain't quit yet. God gets around to things. I said, why did you accept Jesus? Why? Because I hadn't preached to her. The only thing I had ever told her was I accepted Christ. That's the only thing that I had ever said to her, because God told me, keep your blab mouth shut. Don't you say nothing to her. Let her alone. And I'll never forget, Wanda said this. She says, I'm living with a different man. She said, at first, I thought you were just going through one of your phases in life. She said, you're a different guy. See, I don't know any other kind of Christianity than a changed life. I don't know anything else. I didn't get a special one. Along my walk and way, I met guys like Mike Arendu, who got a changed life. He got born again. Mike wasn't the same guy anymore. I went along and I ran into people and they weren't the same people anymore. Changed lives. And then I'd run into people say that they're Christians with unchanged lives. I don't believe in unchanged lives. If Jesus can't change my life, He ain't much. See, this is why the Lord can change your life. The Lord can change your life. I had years ago. I told the story before, but a woman came to me years ago. She has since left and gone to be. She has went going to be with Jesus. But I remember one time she came to me. This woman, she came to me and said, as a Christian, she said, I didn't always follow Jesus very much. And she said, I accepted him as my Savior. But she said, when I made him my Lord, she said, then I changed my life. And I looked at her and said, yeah, that's the day you got born again. She got upset about it because she wanted to be a Christian all the time. But it's confessing him as Lord is what the scripture says. It's the first time she was going to let Jesus run her life. That's the new birth. The new birth takes place when you want changed. Most people want to have sins forgiven, but they don't want to have. We'll go on to teach about these things. Your sins were forgiven by Jesus Christ, every human being, everybody on the face of the earth. Their sins are already forgiven. Jesus took their sins on the cross. Your sins forgiven don't make you a Christian. That would mean everybody in the world's a Christian because their sins have been forgiven. What makes you a Christian is receiving the forgiveness of your sin, receiving Jesus Christ, making him Lord. Believing God raised him from the dead and confessing his lordship. Jesus, Lord over me. See, that lordship thing, when that night when I accepted Christ and I said this to him that night, I can tell you, I was with 321 Canal Street. I was in the living room kneeling at the sofa. Wanda and the kids were in bed. I was downstairs and I knelt at the sofa and I said to Jesus that night, Jesus, I said, I lived in my life. I said, I did crazy stuff. I did loads. I said, I lived. I said, and this is what I was telling him. I said, I followed the devil and I did anything he wanted me to do. And I said, I got good at it. I got good at following the devil. A lot of Christians don't ever realize how well they followed the devil. They think they were pretty nice folk. Sometimes the people who didn't do so bad were some of the worst Christians there ever was because they had a self-righteousness that stinks to high heaven and they carry it with them into the kingdom. And I said, Lord, this is what I told Jesus. Jesus, I'm going to do and go and do whatever you want me to do. You tell me and I'm going to follow it. I'm going to do whatever you want. That's what I told the Lord that night. And I want you to get across this because the Holy Spirit keeps prompting me to say this. Because we had a revival took place at Reese Candy Company back in 1980. When I got born again, there was a number of people got born again after that through the plant, different people. But after a couple years, the majority weren't following God anymore. And you'd talk to them. And I mean, at first people were really excited, but after a while, they're just going back to their old lives again. They're going back to the ways and the stuff they were doing before. So I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, what is going on? I said, why is it that I'm following? I said, I have no desire to go back to what I was. And I said, these people, I said, they came. I said, they were living lives that were different. And I said, they slowly, slowly, slowly going back, going back, going back. I said, what's going on? Why? And I had forgotten all about the night that I got saved. And just like that, he said, do you remember what you said to me the night when you accepted me? And I was about to say, no, what? Because I didn't know. And all of a sudden, the words, I heard the words that I said that night. I heard those words. And he said to me, that's the difference. He said, you committed yourself to me. He said, they never did. They wanted me committed to them. But they have never committed themselves to me. He said, that's the difference between you and them. See, most Christians want to find out everything Jesus is to them, but what are you to him? Can he do without you? Hey, man, we were taught that in church. God don't need you. I'm sorry, I'm a worker together with him. He needs me. And if I don't yield to him, he gets betrayed. He needs me. I made a commitment to do what he said to do. I made a commitment to follow him. I made a commitment. And see, that's an important thing. This is about salvation. See, if we don't get over, if our new birth, what does our new birth become? What is it? We want God to demonstrate. He said, blow up, God. Do wonderful things. Do great things. Do awesome stuff, God. Do wonderful things. Go do something else. Okay, we'll see you then. Just wake me up when the show starts. Let's make a commitment. Now, I just want to tell you this. It'll be the best life you ever lived. You'll find out how worthless your Christianity has been, living for yourself. I'm serious. You'll find out how worthless it is. You'll say, my God, why didn't I come and live this before? Why didn't I go do this? Commit to Him is the best thing you ever did. See, this is one of the reasons why. It's like, I have never neglected it all for revelation coming to me. Revelation comes to me. I'm around ministers all the time that struggle for revelation. I have never struggled for revelation. God tells me more than I can comprehend sometimes. He'll talk to me about stuff and I think, dear Lord, man, wait till we get some of this written down and put somewhere, do something with it. He comes to, why? Because God is looking for people to fellowship with. He wants people, he can talk. Just think about Adam in the garden. God wanted to come down, it says, in the cool of the day, come down and walk with him and talk with him. God stepped out of his heaven and came down and talked to him. And you know what? Everybody think that's so cool? I'm going to tell you, Ed got one better. God came down and lived in Ed. Woo! Adam, you ain't got nothing on this boy. You have nothing on this dude. Oh, Christianity wants to get back to Adam in the garden. Well, go back to heathenism, folks. God don't come down to the cool of the day anymore. God lives with me. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! You don't get no better than that. He's with me in the heat of the day. He's there in the morning. He's there in the afternoon and the evening. When I lay down at night and close my eyes, God's there. And you know how that happened? New birth. The new birth. When I got born again, I didn't get real good and then he moved in. In spite of me, he moved in. And in spite of you, he moved in. That's phenomenal. I'll tell you. But you got to get to the point. He moved in. God chose to do this. Being in fellowship with God. See, I understood, and I can understand clearly today when Kenneth Hagin said, I know Jesus better than I know my wife next door. Why, the revealer of Jesus Christ, who is the Holy Spirit, he was in contact with me. As many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. You will never live as a child of God till you learn to be led by the Spirit in you. You may be a child of God, but you will never live as a son of God till you get to be led by the Spirit in you. Children of God, but not, you'll never live it. These are the sons of God. The led by the Spirit are the sons of God. They're the ones that can follow the plan of God, the purposes of God. We got Him in us. Oh, if you get anything today, get that. He's in you. Meditate on that. If you go home and don't think about it all week and go through it, you wasted your time coming to church today. You know, just get down to the bar next week. Might as well have a drink. We got to come to the thing. I'll tell you what. I think often about God in me. Well, number one, I really need Him. I need Him. Do you need Him? Or just when something comes up and then we'll just throw a little switch and I got a problem. Let God fix this for me. Okay, now that's done. Let's go do, I'm going to go do this. No. God is in you. Oh, my. God is in you. Look around you. All the temples of God. And the church world's writing books trying to get a hold of God, trying to seek God, trying to find God, trying to write books about it. God found me. God was chasing me down. God met me in a lunchroom at work and as a sinner, came and talked to me in a lunchroom at work, would come and talk to me. about my spiritual condition. He was after me. I wasn't after him, but he was after me. Jesus went to the cross because he was after you. You never went after God in your life. Quit lying to people. Well, I began to seek after God. Shall I tell you what? As you today, you will not seek after God if God don't draw you to things. Quit taking credit for your anything. My God, we pat ourselves in the back too much. It's only because the nature he changed in me is what I've become. I can't take credit for this thing. It's his work in me. It's his grace that brings this stuff to pass. It's his grace. By grace, he don't come and talk to me because I'm bright. If he did, my God, he'd have done moved out a long time ago and tried to find somebody smart. Sometimes I think, why you tell me this stuff? He tells us, the Lord will come and talk to me about things that have nothing to do with me. Even he'll speak to me of events and things that don't even, I mean, in other countries or even in the United States, certain things going on. He'll tell me about things that are going to happen. And I even pray and ask about it. And I think, dear Lord. Sometimes I think he's just looking at somebody he can talk to tell him something. I'm serious. I think sometimes I think, well, why would he... What was that about? Why was that good? I think about it. After he tells me things, I think, what was that about? I wonder what that'll be. Well, we'll keep that one marked down about, you know, it comes along. We'll know. But, you know, he's interested. And I'm serious. When people talk about God speaking to you, if God doesn't speak to you, there's a problem. See, I don't know these people say, well, you know, I don't believe in God talking to you. The Holy Ghost don't have a voice in you? All you got's a Bible? If all you have is a Bible, you're no better than the Jew under the law. You're a legalist. My Bible became what it is to me, and my love for it is because of the one that lives in me. He opens that thing up to me. Wouldn't be for the teacher, I'd be a legalist. Like many Christians are. They're just legalists following, don't touch, don't taste, don't do this, don't do that. Just legalists. They want to touch and taste it all. They just don't do it by their legalism. But they want to. I like this because God took the want to out of me. Hallelujah. And he put God the Holy Ghost in me. Hallelujah. And to follow God, I got the want to. Hallelujah. If you'll listen on the inside today, you'll find out you got the exact same thing. The want to's in you. You're just like I've done at times. I walk past the want to what I wanted to. But the want to's in you. You just got to come inside, come in contact with it. It's inside of you. The desire to chase after God, it's inside of you. You want to work it up. It's already in there. Your born again, created human spirit wants to follow God. It desires greatly to do it. It wants to. Now, we can hide it with what the Bible calls the veil of the flesh. What the veil does, you know, Jesus is having a light and putting a shade over it. And what happens? We put a shade over our own human spirit. That's our light. And after a while, we don't hear it. We only hear the noise of what the flesh wants and the unrenewed mind. That's what we do. You got to take the veil of the flesh off and tell flesh, shut up, sit down, let's go. Let's go look at God a while. Let's find out what God wants instead of what I want. You got to learn to do that. Hallelujah. And then don't even be shocked at all. God talked to you. After a while, you'll get like me. I'd be surprised he didn't. I'd just be shocked if he didn't. That would, you know, these people say, well, y'all don't talk to me. And I think, dear Lord, are you saved? God living inside of you never talks to you? Think about that. God inside and never talks? No, he can't scream loud enough because the flesh is so loud. Your flesh is so loud, yelling in your ears of what you want. He sounds like, beep, 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 beep. And you say, what's that squeaking noise I hear? We got to put some oil on that. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Think about it. You're in Christ. You're a new creation. You're a new creation. You are a new creation. See, that hasn't changed that you got born again how many years ago. It don't matter, whatever those years are. I tell you, I'm a new creation. See, spiritual things are ageless and timeless. This is what I learned. That's why when God deals with me and talks about things to me, spiritual events happen, they seem to me like they happened yesterday because there's no time in the spirit realm. And my spirit picks up on those things, and it's just like it just happened today. I can see and I can go back onto things and look at it. I can tell you the detail of them happened spiritually. And I go back over it. This is the honest truth. I can't even remember most about the Vietnam. I spent 13 months in Vietnam. Can hardly really tell you a lot of detail about a lot of stuff. Can't tell you the detail. Why? Isn't what I focus on. They were natural things. In my spirit, I can go back to when I was first born again and I can tell you details of things and experiences I had with God in my bedroom where he showed up. I could tell you things. To me, it's just like yesterday. Why? In your spirit, there are spiritual events that take place, and inside of you, they're just like, my God. Those things come up, and it's just like, whew. It's like that thing just happened. Know no man after the flesh. That includes you. First, don't know you after the flesh. Know what you are on the inside. Don't minimize yourself by always giving the credit concerning things and you know, talking about the outer man and what he does or don't do. Talk about the inner man. Talk about what you really are on the inside. I'm a new creation. That's what I am. I'm not like everybody else. The children of God are a different people. We're a different race of people on the earth. This earth, the Bible tells us, is our home. We're looking for a city, it says. Most of Christians are looking for another piece of land or another this or that here in this earth for another place to build. There's nothing about building and doing stuff. But when they become the most important, your focus is supposed to be about leaving of this other land. The Bible tells us that Abraham had the vision of the other land. It says he was down there. He wasn't looking for a place here. He was looking for the heavenly city, it says. Abraham was. Always looking for something natural here, something natural, trying to get the natural blessing. You set yourself on the heavenly, and you find out how things will change naturally for you. You'll find a lot of things you need and don't need. A lot of things will change what you want or don't want. But we're looking for a city. I'll tell you, my preparation is this. I'm leaving. I don't know what you guys are going to do. I'm leaving. Amen. This place ain't my home. This realm is not my home. This natural realm is not my home. This is not my place of operation. My greatest place of operation is in the realm of the Spirit. I'm in the kingdom of God. I'm born again. I'm not trying to get into the kingdom. I'm not one day go get eternal life. I have it now. I have eternal life right now. You have eternal life right now. You're not trying to get it. You got it. Where it is, it's on the inside. You have the life of God in you. Boy, that's what you want to come in contact. The life of God. Your inner man is after God today. Your inner man wants more of God. Your inner man hungers and thirsts for righteousness. See, you want to let that bring the flesh under to let that come out and to dominate. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. He said, you'll be filled. He said, Jesus, you hunger and thirst for righteousness? You'll be filled. That's what he said. I wonder if Jesus lied about that. I don't know. Maybe he didn't really mean that. Maybe he meant something else. Paul prayed for that church at Ephesus that they might be filled with all the fullness of God. Has anybody here got all you want of God yet? But I'm going to tell you what, I know this by Scripture, I can get it. I can get all the fullness of God. I'm going after it. I don't know about you. What do you want? See, this is why at the top of the journey, God wants us to want His fullness. Whoo! Is it? See, we should put that at the top of agenda. No, we have other things that are in our agendas of what we want. But the Scripture tells us what God wants. God wants you to have His fullness. The fullness of God that filleth all in all. Maybe that was just a cute little prayer that Paul said. It didn't really mean that you could really have that. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he was just kidding. Maybe he laughed after he wrote that down. Wait, those guys read that. Find out it ain't going to work. See, we read those things, but we have no expectation that was really God expects and wants to do that for us. God wants you to be filled with His fullness. Father, I want to thank you this morning. The God, creator of heaven and earth, the one who created us, the one that set all this in motion, and then the one that talked to his children and said down here, we're workers together with him.